pleasure to speak to Bernard Grover, the man who really exposed the Q PSYOP for what it was, more so than anyone else, stood very firmly on the terrain of reality and truth and exposed it. It's still around, I guess. Maybe they'll revive it and try and bring it back again. Who knows? Hello, Bernard. Great to have you back on. Some of us won't be here in a year or two. A lot of people are checking out. There's more and more suicides. The injuries are grievous. They're horrible. I don't blame people, especially those with tinnitus, for example, or myo. It doesn't matter which injury you have. They're all intolerable. They're all life-disabling. They're anti-life is what they are. And these people, tragically, are either going to die miserably or check out sooner. Now, you remember, all of you, that they've been pushing for euthanasia in Canada for the last couple of years? I wonder why.
Right.
Same thing in some European countries. What, Sweden, I think? I can't remember. But they've been pushing that option.
The Netherlands is a big one.
There it is. Thank you. So these injuries are intolerably wicked and gruesome in many cases. They don't get any press. You will not see any of it being covered on the so-called mainstream media in this country, probably not yours very much at all, if any. They're hiding it
all.
And that's why I say tens of thousands of Americans a day are likely dying. They're perishing from this. It's not a vaccine. Did you hear the program last night?
No, I did not hear it last night, no.
All right, I need to send it to you. You need to hear it. It's not a Pfizer and Moderna-owned product. It was commissioned and paid for by the Department of Defense. It is formally known as a countermeasure, which is a term for a military weapons system or weapon. This is clearly not a vaccine for public health. This is, as we've always said, a biological weapon. And now we have the proof. We've got the proof. It's a DOD-owned and designed weapon that was given to Pfizer and Moderna to create their own version. Moderna used the the vaccine with the, which virus was that? Anyway, I can't remember. They're two different types, but they do the same thing. They're owned by the DOD. The DOD paid for it. The American taxpayer paid for it. And it is absolutely now uncontestably, inarguably, incontrovertibly a biological weapon owned by the Department of Defense.
Well, and it's interesting you mention that because we have Indonesia has just approved two homegrown versions of mRNA products, one of them developed with a Chinese partner and one of them developed with the Baylor College of Medicine. I doubt seriously that Indonesia could have produced two mRNA products in roughly a year without somebody simply just handing them the recipe or the ingredients.
Sure. Well, that's what the DOD did. They handed Pfizer and Moderna apparently exactly what they wanted, and they got it. And that's what we're seeing now. The deadliest protein ever created by man or anyone else, the spike protein. The deadliest thing ever.
Oh, it's nasty. Everything I've been reading about it is absolutely horrific. And, of course, just recently there was the information about the autopsy where the spike protein was found all over the lungs, heart, blood vessels.
Everywhere. Oh, yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, and they were not related to a virus at all. They were simply spike proteins floating around.
That's right. Well, if you happen to get the Novavax version of these so-called vaccines, the Novavax version is nothing but spike. There's no mRNA in it. It's just straight spike. Now, theoretically, that would mean that your body would not be able to replicate it, which is what the mRNA causes your cells to do, to create the spike protein. But I suspect a rat is involved and that even the Novavax has some mechanism by which your body or the spike protein itself can replicate. I would bet on it. Anyhow, I'm not surprised. They're finding people. They did one test, at least, with an older Japanese man who had an outbreak of shingles after he got jabbed. And a lot of my friends have had shingles. They did a biopsy of the one shingles lesion. There were many. Full of spike. Full.
Yeah.
Crawling with spike. This stuff, we figured, we did some simple math, and Erica figured out that about 30 trillion spike proteins would be manufactured, assuming the mRNA did actually effectively enter the cells and began production of spike proteins. 30 trillion, and that's with no known off switch. We're just projecting that much on the basis of a successful entry into the cells of the body. We didn't have a timetable on it, but 30 trillion minimum, and maybe perennial thereafter. We don't know.
Well, and you should know that this is not a new technology. Many years ago, I think it was the late 90s, I was working at one of the largest cancer hospitals in the world. And at that time, I was documenting various surgical treatments and cancer treatments. And they were using a hollowed-out virus protein and inserting mRNA into it, mm-hmm. and then injecting that into tumors to see if it could switch off the tumor cells.
Right.
I don't know what the outcome was. I don't think it was very good. But this is technology that's been around at least 25 years.
Well, the spike is an abject, cold, stone-cold killer. And it has many ways of ending life. Not just one,
sure.
not just two, many. And what that means is they, Pfizer, Moderna, and now the DOD, must be included in that because they're the culprit who paid for the thing with our money. They have all manner of plausible deniability. No, he didn't die of the shot. He died of just normal heart issues. Or no, prions happen. Alzheimer's happens. Don't worry. This is not us. Not true. Not true at all. It's all lies. All blatant lies. And they've injected over 5 billion people with this shit so far.
Yeah.
And it may be one shot. It may be five or six shots. We've got all kinds of them now. People are routinely reporting four and five shots now. And the new booster, which is be shot number three, according to the traditional timetable of injections, is showing that it is clearly twice as dangerous as the old booster, which was all removed from the shelves about a month ago and replaced with this new one. It's a bivalent. It's the original COVID booster shot, but it's married to and accompanying the Omicron variant. That's other half of the booster. And the Omicron version has its own spike protein, which we have no idea what's been programmed into that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's another mRNA product, as all vaccines are now going to mRNA status. That's what they're being built with. And they'll all potentially have their own spike protein. Look, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. deep trouble, Jeff. Deep trouble. Yeah, and something I found as I was searching the internet for the information I got for you was a 2009 paper saying that there were viral agents associated with myocarditis, pericarditis, and epicarditis, but none of them were coronaviruses. They were parvo and herpes and Epstein-Barr and one other. I can't remember the name. But apparently these diseases are viral related. Mm-hmm. And by injecting these spike proteins into people, you're essentially turning on whatever it is that's causing the inflammation, because that's the body's natural response to an invasion is to inflame the organs and muscle tissues to try to raise heat in order to kill the invader, which is where the fevers come from. And obviously, if this is 2009, this was a French paper. I've got it linked up on the article. And they were seeing viral-related agents. I also have an Indonesian paper from 2019, so both of these are pre-COVID, that also found similar results from myocarditis. I have to get that word out, myocarditis.
Yeah.
So these are viral-related illnesses, and apparently they've been able to narrow it down to just the spike protein, so they don't have to have a virus. They can just inject you with the agent that actually causes the inflammation. And inflammation is deadly. I mean, that kills so many people.
Oxidative stress, inflammation, rusting from the inside out. Yep.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're decreasing the body's ability to excrete poisons and toxins and various other things by literally constricting all the tissues, which is what the, what do they call it? The, oh gosh darn it.
The viral platform for the Moderna, my brain finally worked, the adenovirus, which is a very durable and tough virus. They use that as the platform to transmit the mechanism by which spike would be manufactured in the cells of your body. It's an adenovirus vector.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now that one is actually fairly common as well. That's what...
very common.
One of the causes of the common cold.
Correct.
The rhinovirus, the adenovirus, and the coronavirus. But that's the thing is... so many people are reporting flu-like symptoms, but the ones that cause the common cold are strictly respiratory. They're sinus, upper respiratory, and throat. But the people are reporting fever and body aches, joint pain. All of that is flu symptoms. And flu, of course, most of the flu viruses that I'm aware of have a spike protein.
I sent you the program just now, and it's up there on the homepage for all of you who want to see it. Just go over on the right-hand side and look for the archive, our coronavirus COVID archive. It's on the right. You'll see it down below the picture of the hideous creeper, Biden. And it might be a second story. I'll leave the first one up there that it explains for everyone the difference between blood clots and amyloid clots. Very important differences, which you should know, most of you do. Now, if you look in guests, our third guest is Bernard. You'll see him. Right under his name is devastating numbers in Indonesia are dying from the bioweapon genocide. It is a weapon. Understand, DOD does not do public health inoculations. They design weapons and weapon systems. All right? So this is a bioweapon, as we've been crystal clear about for well over a year now. So click on that right below Bernard's name, and you'll bring up his paper. It's also in headlines tonight, and it's on the left side. He has a columnist position. It'll be there as well. It's called Death by the Numbers. Are excess people dying in Southeast Asia because of vaccines? And it starts out, thanks for the mention. He says, I set out to quantify how many, if any, excess deaths were being caused by the mandated use of COVID-branded products in Indonesia. The reason I hadn't looked into this before is that there have been not many drop-dead incidents in Indonesia, at least that I have been seeing or have been widely reported. It must be noted that the government here is very sensitive about negative information regarding these products, in part because it has spent considerable money buying, forcing, and developing these products, which you just heard Bernard mention a minute or two ago. One doctor who was a very vocal critic of the COVID-branded products was jailed last year in Indonesia and has essentially disappeared, and her family is being harassed. So it goes on from there. It's a very, very good paper, full of charts and graphs. And if you want to go down to the first one, if you're all looking, we can go down there. It's a white one. And it says, total number of deaths from COVID-19 in Indonesia as of September 29, 2022. Take us through that one. This is the beginning of your research.
Yeah, now this one was the one that really got me into it when I found this graph. And I've put a vertical red bar at roughly the point where vaccines were mandated. So you see a fairly low but significant uptick beginning in March. But then right from that point, from the 3rd of January 2020, when they mandated the vaccines, it goes parabolic. It just shoots up. And what's even more damning is if you follow the line up to the top right, you'll see another bump, and that corresponds with when they mandated the booster. Now, what's even more significant was initially we had the Sinovac here, which is a Chinese product, and supposedly
Sinovac. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
And they were supposedly using attenuated viruses in that one. So it wasn't ostensibly an mRNA product.
Right.
But the booster was mandated as Pfizer. You had to have the Pfizer shot.
Oh, so they did slip the mRNA in there. Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right. So you got a circle.
And Pfizer.
Go.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you.
Pfizer has been available probably on that graph, probably the point where the line goes almost vertical. So initially it was just Sinovac, but the Pfizer came along. If you remember it, at the beginning, they had to store the vaccines at minus 70 degrees, I think, and that made it almost impossible to distribute in Indonesia because there are so many remote locations that don't have that ability. And then suddenly that requirement just kind of vanished, and then Pfizer made its way into Indonesia with the same kind of zero liability EUA declaration.
So they got a ticket to ride in Indonesia, a free ticket. Okay.
Yeah, and pretty much everywhere Pfizer has been available, that's what they've done, is they've gone with these EUAs and zero liability agreements.
Sure. So, well, it's only an experimental vaccine, so we shouldn't have to be held accountable. You're participating voluntarily in an experiment. Oh, not true. Not true at all. Okay,
well,
looking at this
certainly
graph.
Certainly hasn't been voluntary here.
No, I've heard that. I've heard other stories of actually the military. Let me think. Where was this? South America. A South American country. The military was going door-to-door, force-vaxxing people in their homes. I don't want to mention which one. All right.
We haven't gone door-to-door yet, but all of the distribution centers were manned by national police. So they were keeping a watchful eye, making sure everybody got their jab.
Okay, on this graph, there's a circle, and there's underneath a little box that says December 13, 2021. Is that when they introduced the booster?
That's about 2 weeks before. The booster, I think, was middle of May, or no, I guess it would have been January this year, this year. So roughly about a year after the first mandate, then they came out with the boosters. So you had to have two initial shots and then a booster, and everybody, of course, has their little application. Known here as Peduli Lindungi, which means we care and you know, we want to help.
Doing our part.
And you have to scan that. Oh, yeah. And you have to scan that. Your national ID number connects all your vaccination and PCR records to your phone, essentially. And then there's a QR code in public places, and you got to scan to walk in. But it's the enforcement is rather interesting.
Bernard, are you saying when you go into a let's say a restaurant or a store or other business, you're having to scan your QR code to get in?
Well, initially that was the case, and several of the larger malls still do it. But the private restaurants and local establishments just don't care. They would rather sell you something than to spend a lot of time worrying about whether you scanned. So I stay away from the malls as much as possible. And in fact, any place where there's a large number of people is where they tend to get sticky about it.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, I think we're ready for a break. We'll do that. Come right back with Bernard in just a couple of minutes. Real quick on the way out to the break, what's the status of Q in one sentence?
Q is back, and the storm is here, and Trump is going to save us, so hang on.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back with Bernard Grover in just a few minutes. Hold on. Okay, here we are back with Bernard, live from Indonesia. And let me just follow up a little bit on the QAnon, then we're going to go back to your wonderful paper that you put together. So QAnon is not dead and buried, as it should be. It's been reanimated. It's back to life. What is the, and you know more about QAnon than probably anyone who's not a deaf, dumb, and blind devotee. Tell us where this is now. What are they going to do with it? What's your projection?
Well, a Q account appeared on Truth Social, and apparently, because it seems to have been what promoted by Trump himself, people suspect that this is Q returned from the dead. However, this one looks completely different. It posts differently. It sounds like one person instead of four or five.
This point.
If you remember, I mentioned there was this thing about voicing. There were at least four or five different voices in the original Q. Yes. This one is one person. But many of the devotees, the apostles and acolytes, are promoting this as likely the real Q come back, but in any case, there are still
Mr.
people.
Big is back. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And many people are saying now that the Q posts were about 3 to 4 years in advance of actual events. They're interpreting current events as having been predicted by Q back in the day. And so the storm is here, according to everybody. John Durham, of course, is going to bring it all down. The guy, John Weiss, who's investigating Hunter, and I believe the Clinton Foundation. And, of course, all of this is going to come out in the wash. Trump wanted them to raid Mar-a-Lago because he wanted them to introduce the documents.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh.
So they're getting double use out of this. The original QAnon rollout and controversy, they're just going back to it and reinterpreting it to fit today's events. That's what you're saying. This is phenomenal.
Well,
it's
remember,
hysterical. People aren't dumb.
Oh, yeah. One of my original theses was that this was kind of like a religious movement. You know, the Bible can be interpreted.
Oh, sure. Sure.
However you want, depending on how you carve it up and apply it. This is the same way, you know, these posts, this sounds exactly like what's happening today. And they're still quoting them, you know, post number 1437 with a 4-year delta, meaning it's been 4 years since it was posted, says thus, thus, and thus. So that sounds exactly like what's happening today. So it must be true.
Too funny. Bernard, this is okay. Well, I wonder if this is one of the original maybe the progenitor of the whole thing, the voice, the guy. And then they brought in staff because it got to be too much for him, and they tried to figure out how to project this into the future to hook in as many people as possible. People love these projections. Yeah, and I must say, just again, not one of the date projections for some cataclysmic or enormous event that I have seen in all the years of watching the internet has ever come to pass. Never.
No.
Not one.
No.
When they name a date, nope, nothing happens. Now, that said, my one source did tell me that something very big was going to happen between the 25th and 27th. And that, on the 27th, was when the pipelines were blown. And he was right about that. So but that's the only the only thing I can remember where someone's been actually correct on a date projection. Anyhow, okay, so Q is back. And since Trump is back and acting every bit his original campaign self and not backing down on pushing the bioweapon at all, as far as I can tell, he's still going to be hailed.
Yep.
He's drawing 50,000 people at rallies. His speech reversals are showing him to be reasonably congruent, not like he was after he took office when it was a mess. But in his first campaign, that year and a half long, David Oates and I were right on it. David was reversing him all the time. And he was 99% congruent. In other words, his subconscious was validating what he was saying in his forward speech as being his real truth. But when he got into office,
yeah,
it became a train wreck because he wasn't calling his own shots, we don't think. But now we don't know what's happened to him because David spent 3 hours on him listening to him the other night, could not find Bernard one single speech reversal. Now, what does that
mean?
That's
really interesting.
Did they find a way to somehow shut down his subconscious from speaking, so to speak? I don't know. But we're watching this one. It's very intriguing. Trump is back. Will he run? Every indication is that he will. I don't think he's going to yield to DeSantis at this point. DeSantis has plenty of time. Don't know, but it's all quite a freak show when you look at it. It really is.
Well, a lot of the speculation I see is that Trump will pull DeSantis as a VP.
VP, yeah.
And that will set DeSantis up for his own 8-year term.
That's right.
I wouldn't doubt that. That seems reasonable and fits with the available facts.
I'm working on getting former Clinton top advisor Dick Morris on. Dick Morris, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, I think 2 or 3 days ago, said that he believes Hillary is dusting off the playbook and is going to run again, third time.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we got a rematch of Trump and Hillary. Here's the question.
You got a choice. You either have a rematch of Trump and Hillary, or you have a rematch of Creepy Joe and Trump. So either way, you get a rematch.
Biden is he is so despicable. I think his so-called approval rating is 20%, 14. I don't know. The guy is a catastrophe. Okay, but it's not him. Obama is running. This is Obama 3.0. Obama is running this from that mansion about a mile from the White House with Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice. And they're taking orders from whoever gives them orders. So it's not O'Biden. I call him O'Biden because Obama's obviously intimately involved with this. It's Barry Satoru. Anyway, okay. So we think, would you guess then that Q is going to make a major comeback?
I don't know about a major comeback. But what I do know is originally I was noticing that they were mapping out social networks. So they would drop certain information and watch where it diffused and who was putting it out. And I think that information is all they needed. All they needed was to figure out where to drop information to get it out to the widest possible network. So I think that, in that sense, the information that Q gathered has been turned over to Trump's marketing people for everything, for the people that he selects as the ones he once elected. Gosh darn it, my English is going bad. But
it's all right. No, he's a kingmaker.
Also, he
right
can
now.
Use it.
To be apparently a major sweep away from Bolshevism and Zionism and communism, back toward what most people think is good old Republican American conservative. I don't know values.
I have little hope of that.
I don't either. It doesn't, you know, honestly, at this point, it's the same people pulling the strings of both sides of the coin.
Sure.
It doesn't really matter. So we've learned that lesson. If we haven't, we sure as hell should have long ago.
I learned it with Newt Gingrich and the contract with America. Swept in
right.
all the Republicans during the Clinton era, and then they did exactly the same thing as the Democrats are doing.
Yeah. Well, it's
with a different flavor.
We have to understand who is running the Western world at least. And that's the Zionist Bolsheviks. They are running the planet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's communism. Simple. And I can use the word fascism it's communist fascism. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference is so nebulous. You know, fascism is essentially corporations running the government, and right. socialism is government running the corporations. But either way, you have the same nexus of power. So it really doesn't make a lot of difference.
As the people themselves being duped by the communist and socialist allure, and they become Democrats. If they weren't Democrats to begin with, it doesn't matter. The only funny thing about this is, more by percentage, Democrats took the death shots than did the Republicans. Quite a bit more, like 90% plus. So if that's true, they're going to be gone in 2 years. A lot of them.
Yeah, at the risk of sounding crass, that might actually be beneficial in the long term.
Okay, let's go back to your wonderful paper. We've looked at the first graph.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Yeah, the next thing people need to look at is, if you scroll down, there are three screenshots there for three dates that I've chosen, which are March 1st.
Green text.
Yeah. Yeah, if you scroll down there, three of them, one right after the other. And I chose 3 days, which is March 1st, 2020, the beginning of the damn panic. January 2nd, which is the day before the vaccine mandates in Indonesia. And then October 4th, which was the end of last week. And also below that, I put up WHO statistics up to 2020, which show that stroke deaths average about 357,000 people per year in Indonesia. So Indonesia has a very high rate of death from stroke. And I selected stroke as the one to watch, one, because it's so high that it might be a great way to, well, great way a way that they would vector excess deaths, or the way that it would show up in Indonesia, because the death rate is so high from stroke. And what you see is that in March, there were roughly 60,000 stroke deaths, March 2020. 10 months later, the day before the vaccines rolled out, there were 360,000 deaths. So that seems to fit the average death rate, more or less the same, although it's a little bit high, it's still more or less the same.
Got it.
But then you look at the end of last week, and we're up to 988,000 deaths, from stroke alone. All right, I haven't looked at any of the others deeply, closely, but that right there is a 174% increase over average. And the only difference is the vaccine rollout, the mandates in January of last year. So now, without getting a lot deeper into the research, immediately my mind says, okay, this ties in with the first graph from a different source. So we see at the rollout of the vaccines, the death rate shoots up for all deaths. And we look down here and see that stroke deaths have shot up 174% in 20 months, or just in the last 10 months. And that tells me that we're probably seeing an effect from the vaccines. This is not a natural event. People aren't eating more fried foods here, and they're still using this crappy corn oil. And diets haven't significantly changed here.
There's not GMO a big suicide corn there, Bernard. GMO corn. Do you have GMO corn there?
Oh, that's a whole nother story. But yes, we have it here. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, there's a funny story in Sulawesi, which is in eastern Indonesia. They had a government program several years ago to start growing GMO cocoa. Indonesia is one of the largest cocoa providers in the world. And these GMO trees were going to have huge canopies and produce lots of pods. And we were all going to skip happily into the chocolate future. And what happened was that the huge canopies came at the expense of root balls. So they had no roots, but large canopies, and the pods were all withered.
Whoops.
And literally a stiff breeze and the trees would fall out of the ground.
Whoops.
Again, that's a whole other story. The GMOs here are catastrophic.
Yeah, well, they're using you as a playground to test their products. Okay.
Sure.
Screen 3, October 4th. Anything else on that we want to touch on?
Well, I think if we look down through this, the things that I would look at particularly and will do so in the future is the second line, which is coronary heart disease. That would be another place that it shows up. Also, anything with organs, so liver, lungs, kidneys. I've got to go and crunch all the numbers on these things. But I'm guessing if I look at kidney disease, which is the top of the center row, we jump from, it looks like 119 and October. 1,000 in October and 43,000 in January, mm-hmm. and 7,000. So we go from 7,000 in March of 2020 up to 48,000, 119,000 last week. That sounds like a major increase. I have to look at the percentages, but just right there in kidneys. And if you recall, of course, the mRNA vaccines are affecting major organs. So they're causing kidney malfunction, liver problems, pancreas.
The spike goes right for them. The spike goes for the neurology.
Sure.
It goes for all major organs. It first and foremost is targeting, of course, the blood and the blood circulation. And then it goes right through the blood-brain barrier into the brain. This thing is absolutely vicious, demonically vicious. No one.
Oh, it's horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and then the part that's really scary is that it's like a delayed release. You know, you get the shot, but then a year passes, 2 years pass, and you tend to disassociate the jab from the problem
that
you're dying of.
That's right.
And of course that
plausible deniability.
Yeah, exactly. Not only in the manufacturing and development, but also in the effects.
Yep.
But we've seen that with other things. You know, we see that with various childhood issues that have grown over time based on the number of vaccines given to kids. Mm-hmm. We see that with Alzheimer's. It just suddenly shoots up around the 1950s and has continued to soar as vaccines get more and more prevalent and generations age. So there's all kinds of things that are suddenly an issue that never were before.
Right. Well, it's really good of you to have put this paper together because it shows what's going on elsewhere in the world. And we don't hear about that over here, as you can well imagine. We just don't.
Well, we don't hear about it here. I had to really dig for this stuff.
Well, it's the same old story. The media is controlled by them, and they feed the cattle however they want.
Sure.
Wow.
And something really interesting to look at, I've got a couple of links down here, but you can look for other countries using the same source. But if you look at Laos and Cambodia, you click on those links, and what you see is the death rate is relatively flat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't vary much in the past, 60, 70 years, except during the Vietnam War, there's a big bump. But it remains relatively flat through all of this, and those countries did not have significant vaccine uptake, one, because of poverty, and two, because of the remoteness of many of the people. So they didn't get out into the population in any great number. But then if you compare it with places like Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Australia, you see more or less the same curve that you see up at the top. There's a big bump, and then it rises up and kind of levels off, but at a significantly higher rate than it was pre-2019.
Got it. Well, it's, I think another issue that ought to be plugged into all of this remain the Deagle.com projections. Check Laos, see where Laos was in 2013 and in 2017, and then it's predicted to be in 2025. You can see that the targeted countries, they're almost invariably white, Western, Christian, European nations, and the U.S. Mm-hmm. and Canada, etc. So, yeah, India stays. Actually, India has a +4 percent or million increase. China has a slight decrease. Russia is virtually the same. So they're not going to be hit. Whatever's hitting people is not going to hit them like it did the West, and I mean all the Western world. So we will see.
Yep.
Good job. Thank you for sharing.
Particularly
that.
The Anglosphere. Yeah,
yes,
thank you, Jeff. Thanks for pushing me into it, because I hadn't really thought about it until you asked about it.
Yeah, well, this is important for us to have this data, and great work as always. We'll stay in touch. Keep your eye on Q. We'll talk about that anytime, and if you have anything else come up, let me know.
Oh, I certainly will, yeah. It's very entertaining.
All right, yes, it is. All right, my friend, you be safe. Take care there.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night, Bernard. Bernard Grover. Okay. It was an interesting 3 hours. Friday again. What did I tell you? The week's gone. 2 days, maybe? Seems like that to me. Tomorrow night, Erica and I will be here. We're hoping to have Father Kramer on tomorrow night. He's out of the hospital. He's recovering, and I think he might be on tomorrow night. And Misha Popoff as well, the coming food famine. All right. You have a good night and a good day tomorrow, and we will talk tomorrow evening in 21 hours. Take good care.